Door Number 8 by Francis Rosenfeld. Door Number 2. Time. I have to ponder this rationally, Taylor thought, and quickly put together a plan to address the current situation. Whether it was real or not, she figured all of this weird stuff kept happening to her around 4 o'clock, and if she managed to avoid her haunting ghost, hallucination, prankster or whatever he was, around that time of day, she should be fine. Since the thought of locking herself in the women's restroom for an hour sounded a little bit like overkill, she moved to the next best option, which was spending every single second in Christine's company. First, she wanted to assess whether Christine could see her neighborly ghost, or if he was a hallucination of her stressed-out mind, and second, she was kind of hoping that a public setting would deter future kidnapping attempts. She decided to skip the cafeteria for the day, and packed a sandwich to eat on the campus green, a place that always seemed to be very busy around 4 in the afternoon. So, between Christine's company, being out in a very crowded space and having a method to verify whether or not she was seeing things, she felt better about herself and proceeded with her day. 4 o'clock came and went, exactly as planned, and despite some trepidation about being approached, which set her on edge and drew slight suspicion from her friend, nobody showed up to disturb their late lunch. Well, she thought, that's one way to return to sanity. Nothing to see here, moving on. She joked to herself, as she and Christine walked to the campus bookstore to pick up supplies for her biology class. It was still early, so Taylor figured maybe she and Christine could go for a pizza later. The pizzeria was the unofficial hub of social activity on campus, and she suddenly thought that maybe hanging out with some of the people in her class wasn't such a bad idea. Christine replied, a little embarrassed. Sorry, Taylor, but I kind of have plans for the evening. She blushed to the root of her hair. Since Taylor looked at her, still confused, she felt obligated to clarify. I have a date. He's meeting me at 8, in fact I have to hurry, I'm already late. What on earth do you mean? It can't be more than 5, you've got 3 hours. No, it's not, Christine said, it's 7:45, see? She showed her friend the wall clock. I've got to run. Sorry. She turned around to exit the bookstore, almost knocking over a person in the process. She stumbled, confused, executed a left-right-left maneuver to go around him, said sorry again several times, blushing even more out of embarrassment, if that were possible, and then finally found a clear path and ran for the door. It was already dark outside, but that didn't startle Taylor as much as one would have expected, because the person Christine had bumped into was her fateful neighbor. At least now I know I'm not imagining him. She thought, and her brief feeling of relief was immediately replaced by dread when she realized that if this guy was real, then maybe her trip to the other side of the world was too, and some new ordeal was sure to follow. Hi, he said, with the conversation tone of an old acquaintance. If anybody in the store saw them talking, they would have assumed the two were good friends, or family, even. She thought of protesting about their being in the bookstore together, and then she realized how absurd that would sound and reconsidered, while watching the door and thinking up a good parting phrase that would allow her to leave immediately. As always, he seemed to be unperturbed by her body language, which would have made it clear to anybody else that her demeanor was hostile. Do you always go out without a coat in the middle of winter? Lucky for you, I grabbed one from your closet on the way here. She handed her a heavy winter coat, which she ripped out of his hands, furious. You went through my closet? She raised her voice. That's outrageous. She was so upset that she didn't bother to question the winter comment. I realize this is a bit unorthodox, but it was a matter of health, safety and welfare. As I said, I'm responsible for your well-being, I don't want you to catch pneumonia during my class. There is no class, you lunatic? Leave me alone? She turned around to leave, and the young man followed her. Again, I apologize, but I think I made it clear during orientation that you can't go through the doors alone, it's school policy. There are no doors, she snapped. Sure there are, he replied, calm. There are doors everywhere, I told you already. For instance this one, he said, just as they were exiting the bookstore. A blast of icy wind drove freezing rain in her face, sharp and biting as pellets. She was ankle-deep in slush, so she jumped instinctively to a spot where her sandals wouldn't get soaked. I should have thought to bring boots too, he mumbled to himself apologetically. Well, a thought for next time. There will be no next time, she replied, putting her coat on and wrapping it around herself to compensate for the wet feet that had started to ache because of the cold. You are right about that. Not during this class, anyway. You know, we should start walking, it will get the blood flowing, avoid frostbite. I want to go back to my room, she demanded, upset that the situation was again outside of her control, and wondering what tools, if any, she had at her disposal to prevent it from ever happening again. That's a good idea, you can put on some socks and boots there. Let's go. He prodded, seeing how she had stopped, stubbornly, to pick a fight in the middle of the street. You don't expect me to go on some other goose chase after that, do you? She confronted him. I thought you decided to take more chances, enjoy the surprises life has to offer. How could you possibly know? She thought, because she hadn't told a soul about a recent reassessment of events. Are you coming? My feet are getting numb. He continued, in a sour mood. You are going to tell me everything about this. She walked ahead, her teeth chattering so hard they made her words rattle. The effect was comical, not exactly the serious rebuke she was going for. Of course, he mimicked her chattering, that's why I'm here. Obviously it's not September anymore. When are we? Care to venture a guess? He asked. Look around, what does it look like? Winter. She pointed out in a sarcastic tone. Yeah, but what year? He replied. Holy ghost, she was instantly filled with fear. A guy passed her by, donning a stuffy mustache and hefty sideburns that rubbed against the lapels of his shirling coat. The bottom of his pants was uncomfortably wide, and since they had already gotten wet and frozen, they whipped around his legs at every step in a manner that looked simply painful. Taylor was so absorbed in the observation of fashion's past that she almost bumped into a young woman with long flowy hair and long loose clothing that employed way more fabric than necessary. It almost floated around her, in the wind, and made her look like a ghost. She had the forlorn stare of a ghost, too, in Taylor's opinion, even though she had to admit to herself that this was just a personal opinion, and not a fact, since she had never seen a ghost before, and therefore wasn't an expert in the looks of the departed, or their distant gazes. Ready to guess yet? He said, growing impatient. It's really cold, the sooner you get this, the sooner we get out of here. I don't know. 1968? She said. Close. 1970. What are we doing in 1970? She asked, as if it was normal. Going through door number 2, he answered. And you couldn't take us to Paris in spring, circa 1940? Really? You thought landing in the middle of the Nazi occupation would have been the better option? Besides, the second door is about when, not where. You didn't change location. Why pick the dead of winter? I'm in sandals, she protested. To shake you out of your complacency, for one. You're arguing with me instead of learning everything you can about this experience. This is not your run-of-the-mill campus walk, you know? He counterpointed in a reproachful tone. I wonder if there is anything in existence that would persuade you to notice the world you are part of, just once. It hasn't changed much, she replied tentatively, looking around. If these people weren't here I wouldn't even notice the... She stopped in the middle of the sentence, and her attitude turned bellicose. You set this up, didn't you? Are those two your weirdo friends dressed up in costume? Seriously? He looked up at the snowfall that seemed to be picking up. Exactly how wedded are you to the conviction that everything outside of what you know does not exist? I've met fanatics more inclined to keep an open mind. But, she tried to excuse her previous outburst, everything looks almost exactly the same, the buildings, the bookstore, the campus. It's the historical character? It's not supposed to change, right? Part of the prestige, he smiled. Things stay unchanged as long as there are enough people who don't want them to change. Oh, I love those. He said, pulling a quarter out of the front pocket of his jeans to pay for just like dad bubble gum cigarettes. Isn't the clerk going to notice that you're paying with the wrong money? She asked. Money hasn't changed that much either. Besides, who checks the coin for the year it was minted? Especially in the 70s, he burst out laughing. Do you know? She tried to catch him unprepared. Of course. 1970. He drew closer to whisper in her ear. I checked, just in case. As I said, I've been doing this for a very long time. They turned the corner, and the dorm building was suddenly in view, the open structure of it, that is, wrapped in plastic to protect it from exposure to the elements. "Why are you stopping?" He turned around, annoyed by the delay. The snowstorm was growing heavy, and as night advanced, a bitter cold had started settling in. "Come on, we have to go. Can you still feel your feet?" "Go where?" She started whimpering again. "There's nothing there?" "We don't have time for this." He grabbed her arm, pushing her forward. "I'm not going in there. Are you insane? It's a vacant construction site at night, in the middle of winter." "So, you want to do what, stay in the 70s? Better than falling to my death or getting my feet stuck in cement." "Well, I don't. They had a draft in the 70s, I'm not sticking around to experience it." "Where is your spirit of discovery, your quest for the miracle of life?" She couldn't help herself. "Ah, sarcasm, so you are not frozen solid. Move faster," he demanded. "How do you even want to get to the second floor? There is no stair," she protested, and she realized she was so cold she couldn't feel her cheeks. He didn't answer, just pointed to the ladder and the elevator shaft, which was already in place because its anchors had to be embedded in concrete. "And then what? Balance on the beam?" she retorted. "This looks like the kind of dump where they find bodies several months later. I'm not going in." "Hey, you, stop right there." A police officer on patrol pointed a flashlight at them, trying to distinguish movement through the thickening snow. "We were trespassing," Taylor's companion whispered. "It's this or jail, what's it going to be?" He pointed at a narrow concrete beam that connected the elevator shaft to the back wall. "And then do what? There is no way out." "Do you think I'm going up there to perch on the beam like a snowy owl? Make up your mind one way or the other. I'll say at this point the thought of a warm meal and a bed, even behind bars, is really appealing to me." "Looks like we made it back," he said, and just in time for class. The campus tower clock struck 4. "You have to be kidding me. I'm sure I have frostbite, and I'm going to figure out where as soon as I can feel my body. No type of instruction will occur until I find out how many of my toes I get to keep." "I'm sure you'll be fine, we haven't been out that long." He dismissed her. "So, the temporal door, my least favorite, it appears that you successfully made it through it." "Define successfully," she retorted. "Well, you're back here, and you are the same age you were when you crossed over. Could you please elaborate on the less successful crossings?" "Well, it can take some people some time to find the portal back, it can be days, it can be years. Some never find it and have to wait for the time to actually pass. You would be an old lady by now." "And you are telling me this after the fact? Didn't I have the right to know about these risks before and not after? Why do you think I'm coming with you everywhere? If anything happens, it will happen to both of us. I'd say that's motivation to keep you safe right there. Quite frankly, sharing a horrible fate with you doesn't give me much comfort. As I previously mentioned, this is a comfort-free zone. Remember how you wanted to stay in the 70s because the alternative seemed insane? Do you think you're the first person who decided to make that choice?" "Why didn't you? It seemed like the sane thing to do," she asked, rubbing her feet together under the chintz pillows to make blood circulation resume. "Because I knew the door was there," he replied. "It's like refusing to get into a car to go somewhere just because you haven't seen one before. So, if you are going to grab me from wherever I happen to be at the time, why go through the trouble to build this absurd set, the room of doors?" she mocked, looking around. "I wouldn't have to chase you all over campus if you showed up for class on time, like we discussed. It's much safer to go through these doors, which have one-to-one controlled access, than having to hack through whatever door in creation happens to lead back here." "What's the next door?" "Alternate realities. And I'm going to assume that we are going through it, no matter where I try to hide tomorrow at 4. "That is correct." "But why? I didn't choose this, I just want my life back," she whined. "Somebody enrolled you in this class, which requires your consent. Do you remember filing the paperwork?" "I don't know, there were so many forms, maybe it was a clerical error?" She frowned, trying to remember if she, even accidentally, registered for a class with a name as ridiculous as Wayfinding Systems, and in all honesty she didn't think so. Well, it doesn't matter, you are enrolled now, which means the doors will show up until you're done with them. I don't understand why you are so recalcitrant about learning. It's knowledge. What's it going to cost you to master it? Oh, I don't know, a few decades of my life, toes, maybe. She checked on her frozen feet, which had started regaining feeling and were now available for throbbing pain. Losing my mind, she continued enumerating. Don't tell me that never happened before. Nothing in life is without risk. As I said, that's why I'm here, to mitigate it. Her body had defrosted by now, and she felt very warm and kind of drowsy, to the displeasure of her guide. Don't fall asleep in class, for God's sake. This is unacceptable. We need to review our findings. What did you learn today? I wasn't as concerned with my education as I was with getting back alive and in one piece if possible. She protested, suddenly alert. You are wrong about that. You were concerned with your safety the first time too, and still, you managed to learn something. Don't rush it, it will come to you. Since she was quiet and kind of drowsy again, he continued talking. You know, I hate the temporal door. You always have to go to the past, which is kind of pointless, since you already know what happened, or at least can find out, and there is always somebody there who notices that you don't belong and gets you in trouble. Every single time? Why not go to the future? She asked, suddenly curious. Some totally unreasonable rule, people got brainwashed with the concept of temporal paradoxes, it's almost like a religion, there is no explanation or demonstration that will convince them. The second you mention traveling into the future, they start looking at you like you want to bring about the end of the world. But isn't traveling into the past the type of time travel that has potential for temporal paradoxes? Precisely, he pointed out sharply. So, is there any chance that my being there might have altered something? She started worrying. Don't tell me you believe this hogwash, he said, disappointed. Maybe you bruise that nice lady you bumped into, what if her life was negatively impacted by that? You should look her up, make sure she's okay. She started to protest, but the door opening to her room had come back, and that signaled that the class was over. Could you please do me a personal favor and be here on time tomorrow, so we don't have to dig ourselves out of a trash compactor or some other awful setting? She nodded and left, happy to have regained feeling in all 10 of her toes. Suddenly she remembered something and turned around. What about me being both with Christine on the campus green and with you here at 4 o'clock? Isn't that impossible, like being in two places at once? And what makes that impossible? He laughed at her. See, I told you it would come to you. You just have to give it a little time. So, where was I at 4, really? Do you remember both experiences? Yes. Then you were both here and there. But she started protesting again. I swear, if you utter the word impossible one more time, I'm going to lose it. That assumes you had it to begin with, and from where I'm standing, it doesn't look that way. She thought in complete silence. I would appreciate a more respectful demeanor, he admonished. You wouldn't dream of displaying this flippant attitude in your biology class. Why don't you confirm with Christine that the two of you spent the afternoon together? How do you know her name? She asked, suspicious. Other than the fact that you mentioned it to me? I'm on the student advisory committee. The second she got back to her room, she heard Christine knock on the door. She was so relieved to return to normality, even a small respite made her feel like a huge weight was lifted off her chest. Hey girl, are you done with your homework? Taylor didn't want to repeat the absurd conversation from the previous day, and checked before she answered. The assignments were finished and looked like they took hours to complete. How on earth did you finish these so fast? They took me hours. Christine mirrored her thoughts, with a perplexed look in her eyes. Great. I'm sure it will serve me well in the future to have somebody else have learned all of this in my stead. I'll have to talk to. And here she remembered she hadn't yet learned the young man's name, about it. What kind of irresponsible person risks her life in the company of somebody she just met, and whose name she doesn't even know? Certainly not Taylor, who, in response to the constant melodrama that had accompanied her growing up, had developed a level of practicality and level-headedness unusual for a person her age. Well, I guess I had some peace and quiet and a bit of time to really focus on the material. She lied through her teeth, trying very hard to stifle a giggle. Say, did you get the stirrers for bio? I thought maybe we could swing by the bookstore together a little later and get some. I saw they had them yesterday. Sure, Taylor said, fascinated by the flawlessly logical unfolding of her time loop, in awe at the perfection of existence. I wonder what would happen if I decided not to go? Great. I'll go change and then I'll come back to pick you up. Hey, I forgot to ask you earlier on campus, during lunch. Have you talked to your neighbor yet? Taylor had a fraction of a second to decide what to tell her friend, and in that fraction of the second she saw herself listening to her own story with an astonished look on her face. There wasn't a person in the world who would accept her preposterous description of events without reaching for a straitjacket, so she decided to spare herself the discomfort of awkward conversations and push the subject to the back burner, right where it belonged. It wasn't anybody's business anyway, and at best Christine would think she was making fun of her, so she smiled and answered in the most natural tone she could muster. No, you know, I haven't run into him yet. Maybe we'll see him around campus, right? I hear he is a student advisor. Oh, no. Please tell me he's not the jackass I was supposed to meet yesterday and who didn't show up. His name isn't Bradford too, by any chance? I thought that was a weird coincidence. I wouldn't know. Say, you want to go grab a pizza afterward? Taylor tested her time loop theory to see if Christine was going to bring up her date. She didn't, and she was happy to accompany her friend, since she had no plans for the evening. Taylor watched her leave, suddenly curious about the alternate unfolding of events, and waited anxiously for her friend's return. Christine showed up an hour and a half later, all dressed up and looking distracted, and was unusually quiet on the way to the bookstore. They got their supplies and were getting ready to leave, when Christine confessed, greatly embarrassed, that she just got asked on a date, and she felt bad about leaving her friend stranded. Hey, Taylor thought, if I left the park around 5, and while I was here the clock showed 7:45, isn't that going forward in time? The thought of breaking one of the school rules, even unbeknownst to her, made her uncomfortable, and then she realized how absurd it was for her to feel guilty over a fresh squeezed rule she didn't have a clue existed a few hours ago, and even more, might be but a figment of her overheated imagination. What kind of person just takes to every rule she's given, like a baby to the bottle, all of those sacred rules society seems so eager to dole out, without trying to at least understand why it exists or what it means for her? The world as she knew it seemed to be more or less the same, no sign of the impending apocalypse that she could notice right off the bat, so maybe her guide was right, it was a pointless rule. She shuddered to think how many of those she had already bent her life around, but most importantly, how many of the musts that defined her existence right now were obsolete, generic or simply wrong. A trip forward through the time portal meant that she could, at least in theory, skip over many decades of her life and emerge at some distant point in the future, maybe even a point far beyond her natural death. Surely, if this was the first thing that came to her mind, there must be people wandering all the way up and down the timeline, who was to say that all of those who never found their way back from their trips to the past were really lost? She still couldn't make heads or tails of the fact that she got to live those critical 6 hours twice, shook her head to chase away the crazy, and realized that Christine had been talking the entire time, and she couldn't remember a word she'd said. Fortunately for her, Christine was just wrapping up her excuse, with profuse apologies and the looks of a guilty cat, and since she was already late, she pointed out she had to run, bumped into somebody on her way to the door and to Taylor's great disillusionment that somebody was not her neighbor. He sort of looked like him, same black hair, beard, glasses, dark shirt, but definitely a different person. So much for my theories. Her entire scaffolding of logic and sanity collapsed, and she found herself back to square one. To her, is this real or imagined dilemma, like in a nightmare game of chutes and ladders?